Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that your word is powerful. I thank you, Father, that your word just goes in so smooth and comes out and just creates change. And I thank you for change in our lives as we are being transformed more and more from glory to glory. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I've been doing a series called The Package. Jesus signed, sealed, and delivered a package to us. What is the name of the package? Salvation. And inside that package is there's a whole bunch of things that Jesus has forever done. It's finished, but sometimes we may not know what's in the package. So I am continuing on my series on the package, all right? Now, I'm not lost. I'm just taking a little side alley. How many of you remember 2005, Hurricane Katrina? Yeah. How many have had personal friends affected by that? People displaced all across the United States, and they ain't going back, some of them. They're not going back for that. Okay, and a lot did go back. But it was real interesting about that as you listen to people talk, and even you listen to ministers of the gospel talk. And this is what I would hear. They would say, oh, God is so mad at the United States of America. Because, you know, they're just not, they're making some choices about Israel. They're not doing good to Israel. So God is mad at the United States. And, you know, God only knows all the crud that goes on in New Orleans, so he is super mad at them. And that is why Hurricane Katrina just wiped out down there. Did anybody hear any of that junk? Now, you don't have to believe that. We don't believe that. But anyway, I heard a lot of that. I heard a lot of that. Now, it's interesting, though, because for years, there's a lot of other countries that are doing really bad to Israel. I mean bad, shooting on their borders and all that stuff, okay? And, you know, but that's not God. But I say all that to say is, back in the day when I first got born again, things like that caused me confusion. And things like that, because I was just a newbie, I still didn't have a Bible for quite a while. And then I found one, and I didn't even know who Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was. So, you know, I was really green back then. And the interesting thing is, when people make comments like that, it would just rock my world, and I would think, man, God's probably upset with me. God's probably angry and unhappy with me, because you know what I've done. And, you know, wow, hope he doesn't wipe me out, all right? And anybody ever have those thoughts? God must be angry with me or upset with me because what I did or what I didn't do. I did, all right, especially coming out of the denomination that I did, that you had to twiddle some beads and light some candles and stuff for all that. It just kind of, I had a hard time with that. And, you know, so I finally got born again. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And it was sheer accident. It was not because I was so smart. It was just, you know, God brought people to my life. But it was interesting. The reason why I continued with that thought is I went to a church, and I'd go to this church, and I would look at people, and they look so perfect. Matter of fact, they acted so perfect. So then I thought, man, God must be really mad at me, because you know what I did the night before I got to church on Sunday morning? Okay, so I looked at you all, and they looked so perfect, all right? And then they had this saying. You probably didn't go to this church. But if the pages of your Bible are falling out, you must not be having any problems. Okay? And I thought, I have to this day a lot of Bibles. Thank you, Jack Cashman, and for collecting Bibles of translations and stuff. And I have my own ones that I've been reading for 30 years, and pages fall out all the time. I'm missing maps. For sure, they're the first things to fall out. And by the way, if you have books and pages, Bibles, Eric Johnson, where are you? Eric has a ministry, and you can pay him for it too, because he's a good receiver. He fixes Bibles, and you can pick colors, pink, green, blue. He does a really good job of rebinding these Bibles, okay? He does. I have. Yeah. Show, who's got an Eric Bible? One, two, yeah, three. Okay, see? Alrighty. Now, but we had this saying that, you know, if the pages of your Bible are falling out, then nothing's falling out of your life. Well, you know, I've had Bible pages. Matter of fact, this is the one that the maps are falling out over here. that I have to go see you. And I have things hit my life. Everybody, does anybody have things hit your life? Yeah. All right. But listen, I've got good news for you today. God is not angry at you. When life hits, God's not mad at you. All right. And so the title of my message I want to do today is called Satisfied. So if you're taking notes, because you are good Bible students, write that down. Satisfied, all right? Satisfied. And it's not about us being satisfied, but I want to talk to you about how Jesus satisfied. Write that down. Jesus satisfied God's wrath and anger, so he's not mad at you anymore. I wish I would have known that. I'm serious. I spent probably about 5 years struggling with that every time I did something. I wish I would have known that. So I want to help clear up some things, and maybe you know some people that struggle with, oh man, God's mad at me. Look at what's happening, okay? So, title of the message, Satisfied. God is not mad at you. Under the new covenant, the Church of Jesus Christ, God is not mad at you, all right? All right? Hallelujah. And then some of you say, well, Pastor D, you don't know what happened yesterday. No, I don't. But I do know the word of God is true. And God is not mad at you. That Jesus Christ has satisfied all of that. That he loves you. All right? So, would you all turn over to 1 John? 1 John chapter 2. We're going to learn a new big word. And if you're in Mr. Shoes, we're in Mr. Shoes' English class, you've got a new word. Okay. Hallelujah. If you went to Spring Grove and you had Mr. Shu, he gave you these words. My kids would come home. I couldn't even pronounce them, let alone know what they did. All right. You're all at 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Okay. Let me say something about it. I asked Carol to put up all the scriptures that I hope to get through today. So write them down, because I'm probably not going to get through them. But they tie this message into a beautiful package, all right? And listen, we are students, and we should be studying the Word. And if you just sit here and you absorb this, that is wonderful. But, you know, let me give you an example. Years ago, I used to teach swimming at the Jewish Community Center. I was so blessed to have that job. And not only that, I got to lifeguard, which means my brain went into outer space, and I didn't think about the four kids and what my house looked like when I came back. Just loved my job, and they paid me for it. And my kids got free lessons. It was just great. But every year, I had to take a CPR course again. Every year, I had to take this course. And every year, I'd have to get the book out and study again because I'd forget from year to year. All right? You sit here today, and I know you're all tuned in. There's nobody sleeping on me because I'm so entertaining. But if you sit here, and it'll fleet through your brain. So write these things down. Go home and study them. Be a student of the Word, okay? And by the way, I prayed every time I lifeguard, Jesus, the next guy can have someone die, but not me. I am not doing CPR. I am not doing it. And I'll tell you why. Not because I couldn't yank them out. I could yank big guys out of that pool. I was pretty in shape back then. But I found out I was so grossed out because it was my second time I had to take the CPR class. I said, you know, you're supposed to press on the sternum here, you know, I said, I press on mine, it doesn't move. And the lady said, that's right, you're going to break it. Oh my God, I still get, woo. That's why I prayed, they're not dying on me, I am not breaking anything, that is so gross, okay? Anyway, side thought. All right, y'all with me? Where are we? Oh my gosh, 1 John 2, all right. all right, I'm picking a new Bible here, I'm going to move this one here. So I'm not with you, so give me a second. 1 John. John's before Revelation. Okay. 1 John 2, chapter 2. My little children. Okay, who's he writing to? Believers. Okay? Anybody a believer here? You've asked Jesus Christ into your life? All right. So he's writing to you. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. All right. So he doesn't want you to sin. Okay, that is not your goal in life, to go around sinning, all right? Okay? Tell my kids, you know? All right, and the second part, it says, and if anyone sins. So listen, God knows we're going to muff it up, all right? So he puts an and if, or but if. I think it's so wonderful. Okay, there goes my last pages. Dear Eric, I'm going to give you that. Okay. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only. That means he's done something for us. But not just for us, not for just for us, but also for the whole world. For the whole world. Okay, now listen. This tells me that I have the Lord Jesus Christ is my advocate. My advocate. And that means he goes between me and heaven. He's the guy in the middle that goes between me and God. And he's telling them all the great things about me. So you have an advocate. He's called the go-between. All right? Now, it says he's the go-between. The propitiation for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the whole world. All right. Now, what that tells me is Jesus paid a price for me and for everyone. Everybody say that, everyone. Everyone. Now say the word propitiation. Three times. Propitiation, propitiation, propitiation. Shoo. All right. Okay. Now, if you're here today and you don't know that Jesus has paid a price, I'm going to tell you some good news. He paid a price for you already, all right? And me too. I'm so glad. Now, I'm going to find another verse. I'm going to spit out some verses that have that word, propitiation. So turn over to Romans 3. Romans 3. Romans 3, 25. Romans 3:25, whom God sent forth as a propitiation, hallelujah, through his blood, through Jesus' blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness because of his forbearance, God passed over the sins that were previously committed. All right, so what does this word mean, since you know how to say it, propitiation? Propitiation. It means God's wrath was satisfied. Title of my message, satisfied. God's wrath, or you could say was averted, but I like the word satisfied because it makes a better title for a message, okay? So God's wrath was satisfied. That's what this word means. It also means mercy seat. Okay, now, if you haven't been a believer for a long time and you haven't studied the Old Testament and you haven't studied the tabernacle, or you're not of Jewish faith, we're going to talk a little bit. Mercy seat. So that when you see this word propitiation, you're going to get it. Carol, you want to leave that picture up there? Ta-da. Oh, yeah. Didn't show up too good. Darn. Okay. Hit the lights, Brian. All right. Don't you fall asleep now. All right. You know, those mama pinchers will come and get you. My son, I tell you what, he still probably has bruises. I just every time. Okay. Now, in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, they didn't have a church like this. They had the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle were pieces of furniture. Just like if I go to your house, in your living room, you have pieces of furniture. Okay? Well, in the tabernacle, they had pieces of furniture. And all those pieces, and I'm not going to get into any of them except for one, all of those pieces pointed to Jesus. They were like the little secret. This is all about Jesus. And one of them is called the Ark of the Covenant. How many saw Indiana Jones? All right. That wasn't too bad. Someone read their Bible when they wrote that. Okay? I think I might want to watch that again. I just so enjoy that. Okay. So like an Indiana Jones, but let's go back to the tabernacle. Shh. Okay, there's the tabernacle. Inside is this box, the Ark of the Covenant. It's really a big box. And inside the box are three things. One, God gave Moses those stones, two stones with the Ten Commandments on them, all right? That's in the box. Two, Aaron's rod that budded, okay? That's the second thing. The third thing was a jar of manna, okay? They're all inside of this box. And they all have symbolism. They all tell a story. They really tell, you know what all those things have to do? God was saying how much he would protect them and provide for them and guide them. That's what all these things, you know, God has plans within plans. Okay, so that's what that stuff meant. Okay, so inside this box, now I'm going to put the lid on the box. At first we opened it up, we looked inside. I'm going to put the lid back on the box. On top of the box, they called that the mercy seat. Okay, mercy seat. But it's not about sitting, okay? Mercy seat. And what would happen is the priests once a year would kill an animal and take that blood and sprinkle it on top of the mercy seat. And it would cover all your sins that you did for a whole year. The mercy seat. God would actually show you mercy for all the stuff you did all year, all right? All right, and every year they'd have to do that. And there's a whole lot more to that. Okay, now go back to 1 John chapter 2. Let's look at that verse again. Since you get it. Okay, I can't find it. Let me find it. Hold on. 1 John chapter 2. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation. Better yet, Jesus Christ is now and forever the mercy seat. And he has covered and wiped away all your sins. All right? All right, think Indiana Jones. Look at that thing again, all right? Jesus, though, is the mercy seat. Isn't that wonderful? You should be going, yay, hallelujah, okay? He was the lamb that was slain. His blood was sprinkled so that your sins are forever, because he only did it once, forever covered and wiped away. Now, and he did that. Anybody know why he did that? Because he loves you. Real simple. All right, thank you. All right, now, can you think about this? I have kids. And think if I only had one kid. Some days I'd like to chuck them off, but just think if I had one kid and I didn't want to chuck them off, and I would want them to die for you. You're a rotten bunch. But God loved you so much that he would send his only son to die for you. His blood would be shed and mercy would be granted to you. That's because God loves you. Okay? That's because he loves you. Now, that scripture, okay, wait a minute. And he himself is the propitiation, the mercy seat for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. He's the mercy seat for the whole world. Now, Joan was telling me the story I overheard part of the story as she had, especially Joan lives down the road on East Philadelphia, so a lot of them are connected row homes and whatever, and they don't have garages, and if they do, everybody parks on the front. So you know what happens after a day like today or this past couple of days? Everybody shovels their spot. And then they put markers in there. I mean, I've seen chairs and, you know, all sorts of things. And hell will come if you park in my spot. And Joan was telling me about the world out in front of her yard, ready to have a fist fight about this whole thing. Okay? But Jesus Christ, the propitiation, the mercy seat, died and forgave them all their sins. Even when they act like that. He died for you, but he died for the whole world. Isn't that glorious? And when they act like the world, what do we say? They're acting like the world. Don't get so upset. Okay, now, God did this because he loves everyone. Every person, the world. And you know, when we say the world, we detach faces. Oh, God, for God so loved the world. Okay, but you got to think people. People where you work. People that you pass. God sent his son to die for those people. And he loves them unconditionally. That he would just get rid of their sins. Okay? Now, let me do a brain jerker. Go back to history. God loved Hitler so much that he forgave him his sins. He was always forgiving his sins. It was always out there. It was always handed to him. I don't know that he took it, though, okay? I don't know. I don't have to know. That's God. And we got this other guy who died a while ago, Saddam Hussein. God was forever holding out forgiveness of all their sins. They just had to receive it and believe it, right? Okay. Well, Pastor D, you don't know what they did. I don't know all they did, but it was pretty bad. But I'm not God. And this Bible says he himself is the propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, but for the whole world. That's those guys. That's your neighbors who are fighting in the street over their snow. Okay? All right. Now, the problem in our churches, not this church, because we'll talk about them down there. Okay? But the problem with our churches is that, you know, we start judging one another. We judge one another. Did you see what they did? Did you hear what they did? I didn't like them anyway. Huh. Not our church. I know that. Okay? But listen, this scripture, 1 John 2:1, says that Jesus died for all our sins and the world's sins. And it's and later on it's going to say, and we're not supposed to be judging them. Okay? We're not the judgers. All right? Now, what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be telling them that Jesus is, you don't have to use walk up to everybody. By the way, Frank, Jesus is the propitiation for your, you know, okay. Just say, Frank, God loves you unconditionally, forever. That's what you're supposed to be doing, not saying, did you see Frank the way he didn't even open the door for Kathy? Just he was just being so rotten. All right, not judging one another. All right? But telling them the good news that God, Jesus loves them. God loves them. All right? Now, by the way, newsflash, we are not supposed to be judging. Okay? Newsflash, in case you didn't know that. Okay? Now, why don't we bring people into our churches? Not our church, those other churches, okay? But why don't we bring people into our churches? One, because they might be messy. They might be messy. Listen, they might dress differently. Girls too low, too high, too tight. Okay? Guys, they may be all tattooed up and pierced in all sorts of funny places. They're messy. And we don't want you to mess up our church. And God forbid lightning strike if you sit in my seat, Scott. Right. Okay. And it's really sad. This was early last spring. I had a gentleman. He actually dated one of the girls in our youth group back in the day. And they're not together anymore and stuff like that. And he pops in occasionally. And every time I see him, he gets more covered in tattoos and things sticking out his nose and ears and eyes. Okay? And so I'm not shocked anymore. But he has got the sweetest spirit, just sweet. And I know he's born again. And I'm going, so-and-so, you need to be connected. You need to come to church and get connected because you're struggling in life. And he goes, Pastor D, I'm sick and tired of your churches. They judge me when I walk in. I cried on the inside. And I said, oh, no, not here. Okay, all right. I had a lady used to come here, and because of an abusive marriage, she told me, Pastor D, I can't come back here. She was serving in a ministry because I'm filing for divorce. And I said, I can't come here anymore because y'all so perfect and you judge. That's what she was thinking, all right? And I said, heck no, you're still on. I made the schedule. You better be here. And listen, we've had people, you know, everything unimaginable. And you know what they say when they say, I can't come here anymore? They're saying, I made a mistake. Oh, and I always say, get behind. I'm first. Okay? I made a mistake. And then they disqualify themselves and say, and I can't serve. I can't be here. I can't serve. And I'm like, what? What kind of churches are we, right? Okay, I'm not trying to beat you up. Okay? I'm going to take you to a high place in a few minutes. Okay? But smile at me, all right? Okay, now listen. We got a world out there that's dying fast, all right? They're dying, and they need to hear that Jesus, that God is not mad at them, and we're not judging them, don't they? That God has satisfied his anger when Jesus died on that mercy seat and blood and all that stuff. So, now, that's part of it. Now, the second thing, lock the door, Brian, don't let him out, Adam. The second thing that happens in churches, and I'm going to try to change names. Some of you know a story I'm going to tell, but is we don't come to church, or we do come to church. And I look at you guys, you look so perfect. And at worship time, okay? And only thing, I have stuff in my life. I am in situations in my life. And I can't tell you, Miss Penny, because what would you think? So I come in, and listen, life's falling apart. And I just come in, and I do the put on the act performance, all right? And you know, that's sad. That's sad. Okay, I'm going to look over here because the person who told me the story is sitting over there. But anyway, so I'll tell you this guy. I heard this story about a year ago. A next-door neighbor of this particular person, see if I can do this because, you know, I always blow it and forget to put the names in there. The next-door neighbor of this particular person, their house was being taken away from them. You know, 2008, 2009, 2010 is not a good year to be selling houses and be in real estate. Was not, okay? And as this particular person, the next door neighbor, was talking to them, and it was like the day before this whole stuff was going to happen. They were going to lose their house. And the person said, well, who have you told? Now, the person who lost the house, they did lose the house, they go to church. They are rooted and planted in this other, not here, in the church, in a church. And they never told anybody. Question, why? Why? Because I got, because, you know, you don't have stuff going on in your life. I could point to every one of you. Y'all got stuff going on in your life? And we come in pretending that we don't, and we don't tell somebody. What a dumb thing we do. Been there and done it. In the worst point of my life, I never told anybody what was going on. Because, oh my gosh, you guys are so perfect. And what would you think of me? What would you judge me? But that's the other church. We don't judge anybody here, right? No, we don't. All right. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4. You just have to flip over. Okay. By the way, I'm not perfect. You might have to get somebody else to be pastor if you're expecting perfect, okay? And then you'll have to get somebody else because they're not perfect. And we're not perfect, right? No, we're not perfect. But we have been made perfect through the blood of Jesus. I'm just learning how to walk it out, all right? All right, 1 John 4:10. 1 John 4:10. Oh, this is so good. I could sing it. First part about love one another, da 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 da. Okay, 1 John 4:10. In this love, not that we love God, but that was our song today, but that he loved us and sent his son to be, where's our word, our P word? Propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love the world. All right, isn't that wonderful? Oh, my gosh, okay. All right. Why did God send his son? Because he unconditionally loves you. Unconditionally, forever. There's nothing you're going to surprise him with. Nothing. He unconditionally loves you. Amen. Right? As a matter of fact, he loves you unconditionally even in the condition you're in. Some of you are in a condition. He loves you unconditionally just the way you are in the condition you're in. Because that's God. All right? That's God. Now, how many of you remember when you first got saved? I've been saved for a long time. And let me tell you, I'd be doing things Saturday night and go to church on Sunday. And then I served in different ministries. And they all knew it. All right? They all knew it. But you know what? They kept me on the schedule because they believed that God had wiped away all my sins. And if I'd stay with y'all, that I would start living a better life. And it worked. it worked. I don't do this, 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 and this anymore. Not telling you what they were either, okay? So why do we judge people when they burp in life and we take them out of things? Keep them there in case you haven't figured out. Preaching sin only makes people sin bigger. But you preach the grace of God, and it'll bring you to places where I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to do those things I used to do because God's grace and his love, and it's drawn me. The love of God draws you, all right? So don't go slapping them all over the time, okay? And I have. I repent, okay? Now, turn over to another scripture. Turn over to Romans 5. Romans 5, 7. Okay, Romans 5, 7. For scarcely a righteous man will die. Perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. Guys, I'm not dying for you. And I don't think you're going to take a bullet for me. Okay, just get that straight. Okay, verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for me, for you, all right? Much, much, much more, having now been justified by his blood, you know, the mercy seat, the blood went up there, we shall be saved from the wrath. You know what that says again? God's not mad at you if you muff up. He's forever not mad at you and angry at you. He has forgiven your sins. The only thing is you have to receive that. And that's what, you know, when I got into these churches and y'all acted perfect and, you know, I was just kind of having brain misfiring and stuff like that. I needed to know that. I needed to be so settled in that. So what if I muffed up? I'm going to quickly say I'm sorry and get back on the track. Okay? Because I've been saved. Okay? Now, things happen in life. And sometimes, I remember, Michael almost had a same thing. Pastor Dan was here, and he parked his car out, and he came back outside, and his car had rolled down and smashed in the big rock. His truck. Thank you. I need that exact detail because I'm going to live life better. All right. Guys are so. Okay. And you know, he said, you know what people said to him all the time? What did you do that made God mad at you? He said he had more people come up to him and say that. And now if you're a new believer, you start, oh, by the way, and if you're a new believer, you think every time you go bleep to somebody as they're driving by you and you got mad, you just, that just kind of in your head. So you got to get this propitiation down pat, guys. God has... Jesus, because he died for you, has satisfied God's anger and wrath for the whole world, including you. And now he's opened the doors and says, come on in. I'm going to use you. Even if you still do some little burps on the way, I'm going to use you because I love you and I know what I'm going to do in your life. I have these great plans for you. Exciting, exciting. Turn over. Where am I? Did I finish that one? Turn over to John 3:16. Go ahead. I got so many good. Oh, I had a list of great scriptures. This is what happens when you get snowed in. Man, I was just like, I cleaned my house. That didn't take long. I moved furniture around. That's when you know I've been home way too long. I was laughing. I thought, I haven't moved furniture around. And come my house. It looks different. Okay, John 3:16. John 3:16. By the way, God sent his son, right? Okay. Okay. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, people, that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is what I want to get to. Verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn, to judge. He didn't even send Jesus to go point fingers. So what are we doing? He didn't even send Jesus to point fingers, right? Condemn. God did not send Jesus to condemn the world, but through him they might be saved. My Jesus loves me. He does.
Isn't that wonderful? All right. Now, I'm going to say a word. You're either going to love them or not like them. Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn. Okay, several years ago, he and his wife weren't doing good. Things got way out of order. And they got divorced. And then they started getting back together again. And then they got remarried. And you know what people do now? I'm not going to his meetings, you know. He was divorced. Wait a minute. God, through Jesus, has satisfied all the wrath, the anger. What are we doing? And he's forgiven. And they're married again. They're doing great. And you ought to go to his meetings. Might get your head put on right, okay? All right. Listen, don't judge. Don't judge. And I'll tell you, personally, I was one of those. You know, I have been, snow me in for a couple more days. I might get better and better and gooder and purer, okay? Okay, let's close. Now, you know I'm not ready, but I'm close. Okay, let's close. If you're taking notes, I want you to write down three things. Because, listen, you can listen to this message, but what is it going to do for you? So I want to tell you what to do with this message. Praise God. Number one, Jesus, if you're taking notes, and you're all taking notes because you're students of the Word, you're going to go home and study so you can do CPR without even reading that book again, okay? All right, here we go. Jesus satisfied God's wrath for me, for you, for everyone. You got to know that, because when you know that, you will look at people, you look at yourself differently, and you look at people differently. So number one, Jesus satisfied God's wrath for me, for you, for your whole world, okay? Number two. Number two. Oh, by the way, that means Jesus satisfied God's wrath for the whole world. So those backsliders, those ones who've walked away, and then they come back, because you're going to bring them back. You're going to go out and pull them out of the fire, all right? Jesus satisfied God's wrath. God's not mad at them, all right? And you're going to scoop them up and bring them in. Invite them to your house, right? Bring them to church, right? All right, so, number two. I didn't get lost. Because Jesus satisfied God's wrath, we are unconditionally loved by God in any condition you're in. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm so happy, all right? And number three, because Jesus satisfied God's wrath, we need to show this love to the world. Oh, Pastor D, there you go again. I'm going, baby. I'm going again, and so are you. I'm going to drag you with me. Okay, that means today, when you try to get out of this parking lot and someone doesn't see you because you can't see over the mounds and they cut you off, you're not going to give them a finger. Christians, go driving with me, okay? Or you're trying to get out of a foyer and you're starving. I might faint, and they're all standing and congested and I can't get through. Love people. Because God has satisfied his wrath against you and all of them, so you should do it too, right? Love them. Love them, all right? Who do we love? We love our family. Then the family of God. And then the world. They're waiting, guys. They are waiting. They're waiting. Listen, a sinner knows they're a sinner. They can tell you all the things they've done wrong. You don't just love them. Love them into it. Love them. Love them. I'll just leave it there. Love them. Love them. Love them. Love them. Now, you think this would never happen in church, that you would do something down the parking lot, wave nice hand gestures at people. But this happened when President Obama was running the first time. We had a girl attending our church at that time, and she had an Obama sticker on the back of her car. And somebody thought that they needed to straighten them out on their voting thoughts and wrote them a very, I'm going to say, not nice letter. Because who the heck do you think you are that you need to tell somebody who they should vote for that you don't even know? And they put it on that windshield of that lady, okay? And she came in. She was upset, all right? Now, and I apologized to her up and down. Apologized. She said, I know, Pastor D, you didn't do that. But she said, you know, I'm just not coming back. You better watch what you do. Now, I do know she's planted in a church. She's grown in God, and I just hung out with her last week, and I hadn't seen her for about 2 years and stuff, okay? But guys, we're the church. Are we churchy religious or are we the church of Jesus Christ? Do we portray Jesus? All right? Okay? Yeah, amen. All right. Okay, one more scripture. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm not lying. This is the last scripture. Besides, you have to forgive me anyway. 2 Corinthians 5. Wow. Are you glad you came to church today? Are you glad you're not throwing snow 6 feet high in the air and refereeing your neighbors? Man, God. Hallelujah. What did I say? 2 Corinthians 5. Where do I start? 18. Let's do 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, raise your hand. What are you? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become now. Verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us back to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. Okay. All the time, people go, oh, Pastor D, I want to go into the ministry. I want to work at such and such ministry. Baby, you got a ministry. What's it called? Everyone has this ministry of reconciliation. Real simple, go and tell. Go tell and live, really. Go tell, live. Live, 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 okay? So when they come up, oh, I want to go into the ministry. You have a ministry. Everyone, not me only, not Benny Hinn, not Reinhard Bonnke, amazing man of God. We're not talking that. Every one of you has a ministry. All right, so. And what are you supposed to tell them? You, in your ministry, you go tell people God loves you. He's forgiven all your sins unconditionally. Come on in. Real simple. Real simple. All right? Now, what if you got this message in you? How would it change your life? What if church, when we came to church, we got this in our message? How would it change how we worship? How would it change how we pray? It would change. Because I'd go, man, I am unconditionally loved, so are they, and bring them on in, all right? What if we got this message so big inside of us that we go to work tomorrow? Sorry, kids, you're going to school tomorrow, all right? And we start going and doing the assignment. So, you all have homework. I hate homework. All right, write this down. Here's your assignment. 2 Corinthians 5:18. That's your assignment, okay? That's your assignment. And you go tell them. You go tell them God's not mad at them. God did not cause this and that to happen in your life. You have a good God who loves you. You go tell them. God loves you. Can I pray for you? Can I just smile at you? Okay? Go tell them that he's not angry. He's not angry. He's not angry. He's not mad at them. No matter what they've done, he's forgiven them all their sins. And then when they come to church, and we've had this happen a couple times, we've had people come in and you could smell they've been drinking. I didn't even watch them walk in. And, you know, most people are like, that, okay? And I remember years ago, we went to a meeting, Jack and I, and somebody walked in and we both looked at each other and go, man, I haven't smelled that in a long time. Yeah. And, you know, but that's where you go, move to them. Say, hi, how you doing? I don't care if you're stoned out of your gourd. Just love on them. All right? Love on them. So what's your assignment? Number one, you got to know that Jesus Christ has satisfied all the wrath and anger God has had against this world, and he has forgiven them and wiped them clean, and that's you and me and everybody else, and you have an assignment to go tell them. And I want to tell you something. If everybody that's a Christian in your county would tell people and compel them and bring them to church, we would not have enough room in our churches. Building addition, building program would have to take place. Okay? But look at this place. We can fill it, babies. I still got chairs upstairs and downstairs. All right? Go tell them. Bring them in. Bring them into your house. If you think I'm going to freak them out, bring them into your home. And tell them how much God loves them. All right, tell him he's forgiven them, right? So who's going to do homework? Every hand in this place is up in Jesus' name. All right. Listen, I want someone to call me up next week. Pastor D, I need a bus. I got so many people. Okay? Pastor Tony Townsend. Their church is busting out of the seams. And you know what he's bringing in? Kids. Dirty, smelly, break your furniture, spill everything over them. But they have doubled in size. And you know, in a couple years, those kids are not going to be kids. So bring your kids. Bring kids. Selena used to pack up that van and then you'd count. All right, don't tell anybody we're double seatbelting kids, okay? All right, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word. I thank you for these wonderful people here that are already doing their assignment. I thank you, Father, that they know whose they are and that their sins have all been forgiven. You're not angry at them, no matter how good or how bad and how ugly we can get. They just know that you have unconditionally loved them. And I thank you, Father, that as we go about this week doing our assignment, hallelujah, that the kingdom of God is just going to bust big in Jesus' name. Amen.